Uncle Silas and my Uncle Cosmo belonged to different worlds, but they were men of identical kidney. Uncle Cosmo was a small man of dapper appearance, with waxed moustaches, who wore a gold ring on his right hand, a wine-coloured seal on his gold watch chain, and a green Homburg hat. He carried a saucy, silver-topped walking stick, and smoked cigars, and looked exactly what he was, a masher. If my Uncle Silas was the black sheep of one side of the family, Uncle Cosmo was the black sheep of the other. He habitually did an awful thing, for which I think nobody ever forgave him. He spent his winters abroad. He sent us picture postcards then of orange trees in Montan, the Bay at Naples, Vesuvius, the gondolas of Venice, of himself in a straw hat on Christmas Day at Pompeii, and wrote airily, "Aren't Greece and Portside tomorrow before the final jaunt to Ceylon?" He was reputed, though nobody ever said so, to have a fancy lady in Nice, and there was something about a scandal in Colombo. Returning home in the spring of every year, he brought us oranges fresh from the bough, Sicilian pottery, oriental cushions, shells from the South Seas, lumps of gold-starred quartz, and the war axes of aboriginal chieftains, and advice on how to eat spaghetti. He twiddled his seal and told amazing stories of hot geysers on remote southern islands, and bananas at 20 a penny, and how he'd almost fought a duel with a Prussian in Cairo. Cosmopolitan, debonair, a lady killer, Uncle Cosmo was altogether very impressive. The only person not impressed by Cosmo was my Uncle Silas. "You've been a long way, Cosmo," he would say, "but you ain't done much."
"Who hasn't? I've travelled over half the globe, Silas, while you sit here and grow prize gooseberries."
I dare say, but we've only got your word for it. For all we know, you might stop the winter in a boarding house at Brighton."
"Silas," Uncle Cosmo said, "I could tell you stories of places between here and Adelaide that would make your liver turn green. Places..."
"Well, tell us then. Nobody's stopping you."
"I'm telling you. Here's just one thing. There's a desert in Assyria that's never been trodden by the foot of man, and that's so far across it would take you 3 years to cross it on a camel. Now, one day..."
"You ever been across this desert?"
"No, but..."
"Then how the hell do you know it takes 3 years to cross?"
"Well, it's..."
"What I thought, just what I thought. You hear these things, Cosmo, you hear a lot, and you've been a long way, but you ain't done much. Now, take women."
"Ah."
"What about this fancy affair in Nice?"
"Well, I haven't got a fancy affair in Nice."
"They are, just what I thought, big talk and nothing doing."
"She lives in Monte Carlo."
"Well, that ain't so wonderful."
His pride wounded, Uncle Cosmo took a deep breath, drank a mouthful of my Uncle Silas's wine as though it were rat poison, pulled his mouth into shape again, and said,
"You don't seem to grasp it. It's not only one woman, Silas, in Monte Carlo. There's another in Montan, and another in Marseille, and two in Venice. I've got another who lives in an old palace in Naples, two I can do what I like with in Rome, a Grecian girl in Athens, and two little Syrians in Portside. They all eat out of my hand. Then there's a niece of a viscount in Colombo and a Norwegian girl in Singapore, and I forget whether it's four or five French girls in Shanghai. Then, of course, in Hong Kong..."
"Wait a minute. I thought you went abroad for your health."
"In Hong Kong, there's a Russian girl who's got a tortoise tattooed on her..."
"Well, there ain't nothing wonderful in that either. Down at the Swan in Arlington, there used to be a barmaid with a cuckoo or summat tattooed on her."
"Yes, it was a cuckoo,"
Uncle Cosmo said.
"I know, because I got her to have it done. She liked me. Yes, it was a cuckoo. And that's why they always used to say you could see the cuckoo earlier in Harlington than anywhere else in England."
My Uncle Silas was not impressed. He took large, sardonic mouthfuls of wine, cocked his bloodshot eye at the ceiling, and looked consistently sceptical, wicked, and unaffected. When Uncle Cosmo then proceeded to relate the adventure of the two nuns in Bologna, my Uncle Silas capped it with the adventure of the three Seventh-day Adventists in a bathing hut in Skegness. When Uncle Cosmo told the story of how, in his shirt, he'd been held up at the point of a pistol by a French husband in Biarritz, my Uncle Silas brought out the chestnut of how a gamekeeper had blown his hat off with a double-barreled gun in Bedfordshire. The higher my Uncle Cosmo flew, the better my Uncle Silas liked it.
Did I ever tell you of the 3 weeks I spent in a chateau in Arles with the wife of a French count?
No, but did I ever tell you of the month I spent with the Duchess's daughter in Stoke Castle, the Honourable Lady Susanna? You can remember her.
Well, how long ago was this?
This was the winter of 93. You ought to remember her. She used to ride down to Arlington twice a week with a groom in a dog cart. Used to wear a black coat with a splashed red lining.
Dark girl?
Ah, sir. Black, long black hair and black eyes and long black eyelashes. A dazzler.
Well, Silas, now you come to say I...
Wait a minute, Cosmo. You know what they used to say about this gal?
Well?
Never looked at a man in her life, my Uncle Silas went on. Never wanted to. Cold as a frog. Nobody couldn't touch her. Chaps had been after her from everywhere. London, all over the place. Never made no difference, Cosmo. She just sat in the castle and looked out the window and painted pictures. See?
Well, I...
Do you know the castle at Stoke stands down by the river?
Oh, yes, Silas. Very well. Very well.
The grounds run right down to the river. Well, that winter I'd been doing a little river poaching down there. Eel lines and jack snaring, you know. And about 6 o'clock one morning, I'll coming along under the castle wall with about 30 eels in a basket, when she copped me.
Who?
Her, the gal. She was sitting in a gateway in the wall with her easel, painting. It was just getting light, and she told me afterwards she were painting the dawn over the river. "You've been a-poaching," she said. Well, what could I say? I were done. She had me red-handed, and she knew it.
What did she do?
Well, Cosmo, she done a funny thing. She says, I won't say nothing about this business if you'll come up to the castle and let me paint your picture just as you are. Old clothes and heels and everything. So I says, it's a go. And we went up to the castle and she begun to paint the picture straightway that morning. The whole family's away abroad for the winter and I'm all alone here except for the groom and the butler, she says. And after today you can come along every morning and catch your heels and then come up to the castle and let me paint you.
And my Uncle Silas went on to relate, between wry mouthfuls of wine, how for more than a week he'd done as she said, chapping the eels in the early morning and going up to the castle and slipping in by a side door and letting the girl paint him in her room. Until at last something happened. It rained torrentially for a whole day and the succeeding night, and when he went down to the river on the following morning, he found the floods up and the small stone cattle bridge leading over to the castle smashed by water. It meant a detour of 6 miles, and it was almost 8 o'clock by the time he reached the castle. He slipped in by the side door as usual and went upstairs and into the girl's room. And there, standing before a cheval mirror, the girl was painting a picture of herself in the nude.
"And that just about finished it,"
Cosmo said.
"No, Cosmo, I just about begun it."
"Well, what did she do?"
"A funny thing, Cosmo," my Uncle Silas said. "A funny thing. She just went on painting. I thought you weren't coming," she says. "So I got on with this picture of myself. You like it?" "Well, I was standing so as I could see the back on her in the flesh, the sideways on her in the picture, and the front on her in the mirror. Oh, I was flummoxed. Well," she says, "perhaps you don't like it because it isn't finished. Let me put my clothes on and let's have some fried eels and you can tell me what you think on it."
My Uncle Silas went on to say that they had fried eels and talked about the picture, and he said something about not being able to judge the picture on such short acquaintance with the model. "You'll see me again tomorrow," she'd said. And so it went on, she painting herself in the nude, Silas watching. Until at last, as Silas himself said, a month had gone by, and he'd caught almost every eel in the river.
You heard me say she were cold," he said. "Never looked at a man and never wanted to. Ah, it's a fairy tale, Cosmo. Don't you believe it? It's true she never looked at men, but she looked at one man, and you know who that were."
"Yes, but what stopped it?"
"What stopped it? A funny thing, Cosmo, a funny thing. There were 20 bedrooms in the castle, and we'd slept in every one on them. Then one night I were a little fuzzled, and I must have gone in the wrong room. Soon as I got in, I saw her in bed with another man. She give one shout, 'Me husband,' she says, and I run like grease lightning and down the drain pipe. The funny thing is, she weren't married, and never were, and I never did find out who the chappie were."
"You never found out?" Uncle Cosmo said.
"No, I never did find out."
"Well, it's been a long time ago, and I dare say it wouldn't break my heart to tell you. I happen to know, Silas, who that man was."
"You do?"
"I do."
"Well, who were it?"
Uncle Cosmo took a deep breath and twiddled his wax moustaches and tried to look at once repentant and triumphant.
"Silas, I hate to say it, but that man was me."
For about a minute, my Uncle Silas did not speak. He cocked his eye and looked out of the window. He looked at the wine in his glass, and then finally he looked across at Uncle Cosmo himself.
"Cosmo," he says at last, "you've been a long way, and you've heard a tidy bit, but you ain't seen much. Don't you know there ain't a castle at Stoke, nor a river?"
Uncle Cosmo did not speak.
"And don't you know where you were in the winter of 93?
Uncle Cosmo did not speak.
"Didn't you tell me only yesterday?"
Silas said with his hand on the wine.
"You was in Barbados that year, a bit friendly with a bishop's daughter. Now, ain't that a funny thing?"